So today we'll hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 10, Text 39, the subject matter, the battle between the demigods and demons. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shirovirudhita Kirita Kundalai. Sambhrama Drigvi Paridasta Datsadai. Mahabhujai. Sabaranai Mahajuddhai Saprasrutabhu Karabharubhi Bhubau Siravirudhata Kirita Kundalai Sarambhadrigvi Paridasta Datsai Mahabhujai Savaranai Sahajuddhai Saprasrutabhu Karambhuvair Bhavau. Mataji. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the course of battle, the war field becomes strewn with the severed heads of heroes, their eyes still staring, the teeth still pressed against their lips in anger. Helmets and earrings were scattered from these severed heads. Similarly, many arms decorated with ornaments and clutching various weapons were strewn here and there, as were many legs and thighs which resembled the trunks of elephants. No purport. So just read the next verse. Kavandhastatra chotapetu patita swasirakshivhi uddhata yudha dudandai abhavanto bhatan mridhe. Translation. Many headless trunks were generated on that battlefield. With weapons in their arms, those ghostly trunks which could see with the eyes of the fallen heads attacked the enemy soldiers. Purport. It appears that the heroes who died on the battlefield immediately became ghosts, and although their heads had been severed from their bodies, new trunks were generated. And these new trunks, seeing with the eyes in the severed heads, began to attack the enemy. In other words, many ghosts were generated to join the fight. And thus, new trunks appeared on the battlefield. End of the purport by Srila Prabhupada. So this description going on is very horrible, very ghastly description. The situation of the battle, especially how these demoniac people, they were killed and they were so determined to fight, even if they took the ghost form, still they are trying to fight. So when we read Bhagavatam or different spiritual literatures which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead through His transcendental activities, sometimes we have to hear all these very horrible things also. Because Bhagavan's pastimes is not complete without demons. So I have to hear the demons, God's pastimes, demons' pastimes also. So that's why this description is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So about this demoniac mentality. As Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, there are two kinds of living entities, that godly and demoniac, sura and asura. So in general sense, the definition of sura and asura is, those the devotee of Vishnu, they are sura. Tad viparjaya, they are not devotee of Vishnu, they are asura. Sura and asura, two words we are well acquainted with. Asura means demoniac, demon. This demon word we have heard, and we categorize asura, the demons. But from the scripture we see that different kind of species or race at the beginning of the creation, they came to existence. Just like daitya, danava, asura, rakshasas, they're all different groups of personalities. The daityas, they appeared from Diti. Prajapati, Kashyapa Muni has different wives. And different species of living entities, different race of living entities appeared at the beginning of the creation. So from Diti's womb appeared daityas. Prahlad Maharaj, he is in family of a daitya family. Then from Aditi's womb, they appeared Adityas, the demigods. Then from Kadru's womb, all the reptiles they appeared, snakes. From Vinata's womb, the birds like Garuda, Aruna, they appeared. Or we see just like when Shiva appeared from forehead of Brahma, he was crying. The Nila Lohita baby, the Rudra, Rodana. Rodana means crying. So that's why his name was Rudra. Then also when Marut appeared, 49 Maruts. So as soon as took birth, they're crying. And they told, Ma Roda, don't cry. So their name is Marut. So different groups of personalities, a race, a species, as you can say. But generally, we say all the Daitya, Danava, Asura, Rakhasa, like Ravan was appeared in Rakhas. There one group of living entities, they come to existence from the beginning of the creation. So they are all not same group. Daitya, Danava, Danu. Danu's sons are Danava. Ditti's sons are Daityas, like that. The Daitya, Danava, Asura, Rakhasa, they are all different categories. But sometimes we see some personalities that have taken birth in demonic family. We generalize all these groups as demons. I do not know what is English word of Rakhas, what is English word of Daitya, Danava. There is no English translation of all these things. But we know the demons, the asuras, the demons. We call that demoniac nature people. Categorize all these groups, the demoniac nature personalities. And as I was telling, all in these different groups, there are also devotees. Like Prahlad Maharaj appeared in Daitya dynasty. So he was a great devotee. And Bali Maharaj also became very devoted. And Vitrasur, he was a very Krishna-conscious demon. He was a demon, but he was a Krishna-conscious demon. So it's very interesting. He was a great devotee. And there is two children of Kalanemi, two demons. So they are great devotee of Lord Vishnu. They are great devotee of Vishnu, but there is harassing so much, but nobody could kill them. Because Vishnu cannot kill also. Because they are devotee of Vishnu, how Vishnu can kill them? So all the demigods, they had to take shelter of Srimati Radharani. You please do something, because Vishnu will not kill their devotee of Vishnu. So Radharani has to order Sudarshan Chakra. You follow my order and kill these two personalities. So these all kinds of different strange descriptions are there. So generally we see the demoniac Daivasur Sampad, Krishna explaining in Bhagavad Gita, the demoniac nature people. And the two groups, the demons and demigods. So Parikrit Maharaj, so today mainly we'll discuss some demoniac class, what is happening with all demons things, that is main subject matter we'll discuss. So towards the end of sixth canto, when Sukadeva Goswami is describing Srimad Bhagavatam, he was telling how Lord Vishnu killing the demons and protecting the demigods. So here in this battle also we'll see Vishnu will come personally and kill all the demons. Then Parikrit Maharaj, he developed a doubt. Parikrit Maharaj asked this question, my dear Gurudev, I have a doubt now. Because we have been telling the God is impartial. Samaham sarvabhutesu name dosastina priha. I see everybody equally. But now what you are saying, that he always killing the demons and protecting the demigods. So how is impartial? That proves that he is not samaham sarvabhutesu name dosastina priha. So Sukadeva Goswami trying to explain, this is very important question. He has to answer this. Otherwise there will be doubt among all the people that how God is not partial. He is impartial. But at the same time, it looks like he is always killing the demons and protecting the demigods. And Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, is how God is favoring to demons and demigods both. So one should understand, the demigods are not always victorious. Many times demons also becomes victorious. The demons become so victorious, sometimes see, demons they attack the heavenly planets. For demons the special planet, downward there is planets. Sometimes they come to earthly planet, sometimes they go to heavenly planets. And they attack heavenly planets so much, so all the heavenly inhabitants are Indra, Chandra, Varuna, they have to run away from there. They have to hide themselves behind the bushes. So much miserable situation. People are trying to go to heavenly planets to be happy. But what to speak of inhabitants of heavenly planets? Even rulers of the heavenly planets, sometimes they have to run away from there. And demons, they take over. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying, why this happens? What the cause behind this? So Sukadeva Goswami is saying, sometimes demigods, they become victorious. Sometimes demons, they become victorious. Sometimes Jakha, Rakhasa, they become victorious. So all these things happen due to the influence of modes of material nature. When the modes of material nature on this universe, mode of goodness becomes very powerful, predominating, that time demigods become very powerful. So they become victorious. When the mode of passion predominates, influence of mode of passion predominates, then these demons become more powerful. Then they conquer everything. And when Jakha, mode of ignorance becomes very predominant, then Jakha, Rakhasas, they become very powerful. So they conquer others. But who is behind? They become victorious. Sometimes demigods become victorious. Sometimes demons become victorious. Sometimes Jakha, Rakhasas becomes victorious. So who is the cause behind? Cause behind is mode of material nature. Okay. But mode of material nature is inert. Mode of material nature cannot work. Then Sukadeva Goswami is saying, but mode of material nature works when Vishnu appears there. When Vishnu appears there, then mode of material nature works. So in this way, when demigods they become victorious, or Jakha, Rakhasa becomes victorious, or demons they become victorious, then all their victory, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu is there behind. When demons becomes victorious, Vishnu is there behind their victory. So Sukadeva Goswami trying to explain to Parikita Maharaj how God is impartial in this sense, in this way. That whoever is become victorious, it is not that God is partial to them, and whoever is defeated is impartial to God doesn't care for them. No. Behind the victory of each groups, God is there. Because behind the victory of each group, mode of material nature works, and mode of material nature cannot act without God. Okay, mode of material nature is inert. So that's why he is saying that God is not partial. God is impartial. He helps demons, he helps the demigods, he helps the rakshasas, but his help goes through modes of material natures. So that is the only difference. Then Parikit Maharaj asking, okay, that I understand, that I accept. That in that way, in that sense, God indirectly through mode of material nature, he is making every group victorious. That we can see very clear, it's not that always demigods are victorious. Demons also becoming victorious. Once when Murasura, there's a big fight between Murasura and the demigods. And Murasura is very powerful demon, and demigods are completely defeated. Then whenever demigods are in problem, they run to Bhagavan Vishnu. Oh Vishnu, please help us, help us. But when the demigods went to Vishnu, what Vishnu said? Vishnu did not say, oh, demigods, you are in great trouble. Okay, let me go now, I'll protect you. No, no. He said, no, you are going through a bad time now. You have to go through these troubles. God said, God, He controller of time. But He also respects time factors. Through time factor, He is controlling this material cosmic manifestations. So sometimes, see, God respects. So when these demigods, they went to complain Lord Vishnu, that, oh, we are all finished. Now demons are harassing us. We are suffering. And God, Lord Vishnu said, you have to go through some suffering. Because you are going through bad time. When good time comes, I will go and help you. And some time passed. Then only Bhagavan Vishnu came and fought with him, Murasur. That also Bhagavan Vishnu fought for some years or one or few years. Could not defeat Murasur. So it's like this. So in this way, okay, Parikshit Maharaj asking, okay, that I accept. In this sense, God is behind everything. He is making victorious or defeated. He is equal to everybody. But we can see, when demigods become victorious, we see Vishnu is standing on their behalf. He is fighting on their behalf. But never we have seen that Vishnu is fighting on behalf of demons. When there is fighting between demigods and demons, so always Vishnu can be visible. Vishnu can be seen. So that is partiality. But everybody can see Vishnu standing there. He is fighting on behalf of demigods. But never we have seen that Vishnu is standing in demon's side and killing the demigods. So Vishnu is not visible when he is helping to demons, when he is helping to rakshasas, but he is visible when he is helping to demigods. So Sukadeva Goswami has to clarify this also. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying, giving a very nice example, saying, no, when God is visible, see, three modes of material nature is acting. Upon Jaksha Rakshasa, mode of ignorance. Upon demons, asuras, mode of passion. And upon demigods, mode of goodness. So when God is with demigods, He is visible. When God is with demons and Jaksha Rakshasas, He is not visible. So Sukadeva Goswami is giving an example of a fire. A fire, He is saying the wood, from wood is fire. From wood comes smoke, then fire. He is giving an example of wood, smoke and fire. Then he is comparing to these three modes of material nature. He is comparing wood to mode of ignorance, wood to mode of ignorance, smoke to mode of passion, and fire to mode of goodness. Then Sukadeva Goswami is saying, three things are there. There is wood, there is smoke, then there is fire. If there is wood is there. In the dark room, the wood is there. Even if wood is there, but it doesn't illuminate. You can't see anything there. Wood is lying there, but it doesn't illuminate. So in this way, tamagun doesn't illuminate. So through tamagun, the rakshasas getting victorious, the God is behind their victory, but He is not visible. Because the mode of ignorance, which is compared to wood, doesn't illuminate. That is, God is not visible. Same way, when demons victorious, asuras becomes victorious. So, indirectly, through mode of passion, God's hand is there. But passion is compared to smoke. Smoke doesn't illuminate. So that's why we can't see God there. Then Sukadeva Goswami is saying, but when He comes to mode of goodness illuminates. So that is the reason when God is acting on behalf of demigods, and that they are acting under mode of goodness, so that is compared to fire, and fire illuminates. So there you see God directly. So this question is answer Sukadeva Goswami describing, because Parikshit Maharaj asked, how God is not partial, how he can be impartial. Then Sukadeva Goswami describing about Shishupal, how Shishupal left body and he has chopped up by Sudarshan Chakra. But immediately everybody could see he entered into the body of Krishna. That time Yudhishthira Maharaj asked to Narad Muni, how surprising is this? This demon Shishupal, I have seen from childhood, he has been, since he started to speak in broken language, he has been abusing Krishna. For this he should have gone to hell. Eternally he should stay in hell. He did not go to hell. He did not suffer from white leprosy in his tongue for abusing Krishna. But in front of everybody, everybody could see that he merged into Krishna's body. How is it possible? So to give that example, the Narada Muni describing whole pastimes of Hiranyakashipu, how Narasimha Bhagavan came and how God helping all demons and demigods, everything in different ways, they're helped like that. So the point is, here description is God's demoniac nature and godly nature, these two things, demoniac nature, godly nature. So what this demoniac nature and godly nature has to do in your life? Bhagavat explaining. Jasasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunishtatra samasate suraha harava abhaktasya kutamahat guna manarathya nasati dhavati vahi. What time class ends? What time? 8:30. Okay, I have 15 minutes more. So, harava abhaktasya kutamahat guna. This gives the difference between demoniac nature people and godly nature people. Jasasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunahistatra samasate surha. One who is devoted to Krishna, devoted to God, all great qualities automatically manifests within him. But harava abhaktasya kutamahat guna. One who is not devotee of Hari, what is his good qualities? What is the use of his good qualities? Manaratha nasati dhavati vahi. They ride on the chariot of mind and they fly outwards to destroy themselves. They are not devotee. Somebody could have many, many great qualities. The demons, there are many great qualities. Ravana was very great personalities. He was Vedagya. He knows Veda very well. He was so expert in performing yajna. Somewhere it has been described when Ramchandra wanted to build Setubandha, he has to perform a yajna. Ravana came to do that yajna for him. They're all very great. They're children of all great saintless rishis. Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary person. He was the greatest yogi. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, everything he had controlled. He was such a greatest yogi, tapasya. When Brahma came, Brahma said, nobody has performed tapasya like you before. In future, nobody can perform also like this. Is he an ordinary person? Great jnani. He has all knowledge, yet if you hear the description in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Hiranyakashipu left body, he died. Then how Hiranyaksha died. Then Hiranyakashipu pacifying his family members. He's pacifying everything based on teachings of Bhagavad Gita. We are not this body. Why are you crying? We are spirit soul. He knows that I am spirit soul. On that basis, the demons that do perform this tapasya. Hiranyakashipu was performing tapasya on the basis of this understanding. He knows more than us that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. He was thinking, body may be destroyed, I will not be destroyed. Life after life, I will do tapasya to get this position like Brahma. That was his determination. He was pacifying the family members. Why are you crying? This body is temporary. We all just come together, just like a restaurant, everybody come. When they finish their eating, then they disperse, they go to their places. who just come together just like village ladies. They come to well to fetch water. When they fetch water, then they go. Everything is so much knowledge, full of knowledge. I think Hiranyakashipu had whole knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. But one knowledge he did not have, that Sarvadharman Paritya Mahamekam Sranam Braja. That was the problem with him. Otherwise, he had everything. So greatest jnani, the greatest tapasvi, greatest yogi, but still they are called as, what Hiranyakashipu is called as? Demon, asur. It's all great qualities. All these demons, when they rule the kingdom very perfectly. Everything perfect. Like in the Western world also, everything was so perfect. Nice, clean, everything flourishing. In a demoniac culture also, you can be flourishing. Downwards, in downward planets, that is called Bilaswarga. Downwards, people, they live more opulently than heavenly planets. In Sutala, Patala, they live more opulent than heavenly planets. Demoniac people are more organized. They look very civilized. More organized. they could be very expert in moral conducts, very expert, very developed, but still they could be demon also. You understand? Still they could be demon also. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, he would control all the demigods. Fire god would not control fire. Air would not be controlled by air, Bayu Devata. They are all controlled by Hiranyakashipu. That time citizens are all very happy. So abundant crops, abundant milk, everything very abundantly. So much opulence. So some culture could have so much opulence, everything perfect, but still it could be a demoniac culture also. Hiranyakashipu would instruct the rain. Don't rain in a city. City will become muddy. Go rain in the field, crops. So it will rain there. Don't rain daytime. When people go to sleep, then it should rain. It will follow like that. No. Just see how much he had controlled nature. Nowadays, demoniac people, they are trying to control nature. But not like, they cannot control nature like Hiranyakashipu, because nowadays there are many demons. But Hiranyakashipu was a big demon. So these are all demoniac cultures. No. So sometimes you have to be very, very careful. Within somebody, we may see many great qualities. Oh, he's a great yogi, he's a jnani, he's so charitable, he manages things so nicely, so perfect, everything goes so nice. Yeah, everything may go nice. But harabha abhaktasya kutamahat guna. If he's not devotee of Krishna, and what use of all these great qualities? Because they will be simply progressing towards destruction. Civilization may grow, may progress, but progressing towards destruction. So once, there is big fighting between demons and demigods. But of always, Prabhupada's writing in purport, this is perpetual. From the beginning of the creation, fighting between demons and demigods has started, and this will continue also to the end of the creation. It's perpetual. Always the demon demigod fighting will take place. But once there is a fighting between demons and demigods for a very specific topic, on a very specific topic. The topic was, who is great? Demons are great or demigods are great? Both are fighting. Then some senior demigods and demons came forward. They say, oh, we should not fight with each other. We are all brothers. Actually, demons and demigods are brothers. They are the children of same father, Kashyapa Muni. So they suggested we should not fight with each other. So let us do one thing. Who is great? Demons are great or demigods are great? So to ascertain these things, so let us go to Pitamaha Brahma, our great grandfather Brahmaji. So he will decide, demons are great or demigods are great? Because actually you can see, demons are nowhere less powerful than the demigods. Sometimes demons are much more powerful than the demigods. So how they will accept that demons are great? Demigods are great. We are also great. But who is exactly really great? So let us go to Brahma, find out. So demons, big group of demigods, they went to Brahma Loka. So Brahma saw all these grandchildren are here. Oh, what can I do for you? And they said, we have one problem we have to solve. So what is the problem? We want to know who is great. Demons are great or demigods are great? Brahma knows who is great. Brahma knows the demons are much more better, demigods are much more better than demons. Brahma knows devatas are good. Demons are not good. So he knows the devata, demigods are much more greater than the demons. But Brahma is very careful. Brahma knows if I just tell, give a straightforward answer, the demigods are greater than demons, then demons will not spare me. They will kill me. The Brahma has experienced this at the beginning of the creation. Now how they want to devour Brahma. So Brahma is very careful to give answer. So he said, okay, I will give you answer. Here are all my great grandchildren. So after so long you have come, first I should feed you nicely. Then I will give you answer. Who is great? Who is most intelligent? Who is great? So Brahma arranged a big feast. He cooked all kinds of items, you know, kachudi, samosa, sweet rice, whatever more items in Brahma Loka also could be. Many, many items. And now he has to serve this food. But Brahma's, his dining hall was a little smaller. Cannot fit all the group, both the groups, all demons, demigods, he cannot serve together. So Brahma said, so you have to make two batches. Let first demigods eat. And when they finish, then demons will eat. Then demons become very angry. Why demigods fast? We are inferior to them. Why they will eat fast? Then demigods said, okay. You fast, you eat fast. The demons will eat fast. So all demons, they sit down. Brahma's dining hall, dining table, chairs are all there. Then all nice items were served. Then Brahma declared, don't start eating unless I order you. When I give green signal, then you start eating. You wait until I tell you. So all good items are coming. All demons are getting very alert how to eat quickly. Then what Brahma did? He sent some people with sticks like this and some ropes and told you go and you tie their hand with this, put the stick like this on their hand and tie their hand with the ropes. So their hand was like this. So after tying all the hands of the demons, then Brahma said, now you eat. So how can they eat? They cannot fold their hands. So they are not able to eat. But they are very voracious. No, how much I eat? How much I will eat? So they could not control themselves. So their hand was like this. So they are mixing rice dal and throwing from the area top. So it's falling on the eyes, falling on the nose, some rasagola falling on the ground, cannot target to the mouth. So all the demigods are watching. And they are they're laughing. Now to see this fun, that how these demons are going through these troubles. But demons, their target is how much I enjoy targeting, how much I get, but they don't get. Then they become very disgusted, they become very angry, then they got up. No, but they could not eat nicely. Then Brahma said, okay, demigods, they got up. Then demigods, you come, this is now your turn, you will eat. Then all the demons said, but Brahmaji, you have to do something to demigods also. You have to tie their hand also. Brahma said, yes, we'll tie their hands also. Now demigods sit down on the dining table and all the demons standing around. They think when demigods will do like this, we'll laugh at them also. So the table is there and all the demigods one line sitting here, one line sitting there. And they tied demigod's hand like this. The demigod's thinking, one demigod thought, I cannot eat. How can I eat like this? Then even if I cannot eat, let me feed this one. So he mixed everything and feed the person sitting in front of him. And others say, so this is very good. Then everybody, whoever there, they mixed and they're feeding each other. And all the demons are looking like this. What happened? We could not do like this. But demons could have done, they could not do. So this is the demonic nature and godly nature. What is demonic nature? Demonic nature is how much I get. And godly nature is how much I give. That is godly nature. God derives not by taking. Godly nature should give. Like in the material world, we enjoy. We derive enjoyment. How much I can get from your pocket? I can empty your pocket. Oh, I enjoy. I achieve. But spiritual world, not how much I get, but how much I give. That is godly. That is the love. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us. The more we give, more we enjoy. Enjoyment, real enjoyment is not derived how much I get. This is the secret of spiritual life, devotional life. And that is the basis on which basis this Supreme Personality of Godhead is existing. The loving relationship means giving each other how much more I give, not how much more I take. More I give you, more you give me. And by giving you more, I derive pleasure. Not how much more I get from you. So that is the definition of demonic nature and godly nature. So this relationship, spiritual relationship between Krishna and the living entities. Love means we like to give God. More we give, more we become happy. So in this Bhagavatam describes this way how we can become more happy by distributing things to others. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Maharaj want to say something. A question?
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that when Brahmaji invited demigods and demons to eat, there were tables and chairs. Is that right? Table chairs is from, you say, from Malachas, you know. Okay. There are no table chairs in the spiritual world.
Okay, I have two answers for this. One answer is, okay, there could be no table chair, but sitting on the floor, face to face. But if Mlechha, they go to heaven to treat Mlechha, maybe heavenly people arrange a table chair like that. Sometimes, don't take it otherwise. Like in Mayapur. In Mayapur, always, I beg forgiveness for saying these things in a class. In Mayapur system is always we sit on the floor. Always sit on the floor.
That is actually spiritual
system. I'm telling you. But nowadays, ISKCON has developed, progressed. We have become more civilized. So nowadays, people are demanding that no chair table, how can we eat? So Mayapur, now we are changing also chair table systems. No, people are, I don't know what to say on this basis. Mayapur, everybody sit down, we serve on plate. No, buffet systems. Mayapur is serve setting, but when first I came Western world, and everybody is standing on line and begging with plates. I said, GBCs, gurus, I was feeling so embarrassed. Because in India, we see only refugees for food relief when you give. Poor people, they come with a plate. No civilized people come standing with a plate. Now that we see very... But what we can do? As civilization, as per the civilization, so we are adjusting. Maybe, I'm speculating. I was not there what happened to Brahmaloka. Maybe because all these people came, so maybe Brahma has arranged table and chair. But table and chair, I added. This is not there, but I just said table and chair.
One thing, Maharaj, this story is from where? The story you told?
This story is from the Kathakars of India. I heard from Sarabhauma Prabhu.
Is from any Purana?
He must have read some Puranas. Many Puranas
No, yeah, but is there in any... But if it is a pranic, and Brahmanji will never arrange table and chair, you know.
Okay, no table chair, Maharaja, I accept. No table chair. You see, that is the difference between Shruti and Smriti. Shruti is Veda. Veda, you don't change anything. As it is, Shruti. Even pronunciation you can't change also. But Smriti, when it's described according to time and circumstances to make people understand better, these things are added. So maybe he added some spice. Some said people understand better about chair table. Sometimes I go to Russia, some places, I want to give some Vedic example, like a mango tree or mango fruits, mango twigs, because in India we take toothbrush mango twigs. Once I went to Russia, I want to give an example, but they have never seen mango tree. So what will happen? So we have to give some example to their culture, you understand? So maybe somebody put to our present culture, would share table, that could be, yes.
No, God is Krishna, only Krishna consciousness. And she now whole world knows Krishna. So my only saying is this, that we present as it is. Somebody may understand, may not understand. Time, place, circumstances may change, but as it is will be very, very effective. This is what Prabhupada has given us. Thank you.
I'm sorry to say, Maharaj, I couldn't agree with you, because Prabhupada said, don't be stereotyped. Don't be stereotyped. You put the truths, tattva should not change. But how you present the same tattva can be understood by people. You should present in such a way that they can understand the purpose. The purpose is, we are trying to present, that how one should do the demoniac nature is to get and godly nature to give. That is purpose. That should not be changed. That is as it is. But how we make, that is the reason why the Puranakars, our Acharyas, they put forward different kinds of presentation according to time and circumstances so that people can grasp it, can understand what is the truth, the tattva behind it. So I think Prabhupada very much wanted in that line. The main term is don't be stereotyped. We have to present people so that they understand what the basic things I'm going to say. On that basis, maybe this has been described. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Maharaj, thank you very much for a wonderful class. Two things that would support what you're saying. One, the change in Mayapur. Prabhupada actually authorized. There's a recorded conversation. He was with some Indian gentleman. And he asked, he said, why are we building this Mayapur project? He said, you and I are Indian. We can pass our obnoxious on the field. We don't need any building. But to attract the Westerners, my Western followers and other Westerners, we're building this building with bathrooms and all this kind of stuff. So that kind of change is authorized. Like you said, the goal is to give them Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. It doesn't matter whether you're eating with your hand or a fork. That doesn't matter. That's the detail. The real point is you come to Mayapur and you chant, glorify Lord Chaitanya, and you make spiritual progress. That's the point. Similarly with the table chair, right here in this community, when Prabhupada bought this building, it was a church, and it had pews. You know, the Christians, they have these pews, they sit down. And Prabhupada told him to keep it. It's the devotees who later on took it out. Prabhupada said he wanted the gentlemen to come sit just like they normally did in church and hear the lecture of the Bhagavad Gita. That's the only change. Instead of hearing Bible lecture, they hear Bhagavad Gita lecture.
You see,
but he actually wanted the chairs to stay here.
Exactly, because in Mayapur now, whole world people coming to Mayapur. In Mayapur, 2-3 weeks first, we had a conference there. From UNO, URI, United Religious Initiatives, people came from 48 different communities, Muslim, Christian, Yehudi, their leaders. But what can we do? No, we cannot serve them on the floor. They have to be served. So that's why, no, this is not a big topic, but I'm just saying. So that was not the purpose. The whole thing as a presenting, I don't want the audience to lose that. The purpose, getting into sidetracked of this topic. This main topic, we should focus whether sidetracking this. The focus is that the mood of godly mood is to give, demonic mood is how to take. That we should focus. Please don't sidetrack my conclusion.
Maharaj, your books, time is running. You brought some books you want to show us.
Recently I published a nice book on Damodar book. Damodar month is coming. This book is a nice article on Damabandhan pastimes, taking from Gopal Champu, Sukadev Goswami's writings. And this book, Maharaj, no mental speculation. Everything from Vishwanath Chakravartipad, Jiva Goswami, these things I can write this way, put some mental story here. As it will really enjoy this book. And Sri Jagannath book, Sweet Pastimes, different Sweet Pastimes Jagannath books. If you want any of Radharani book, Damodar books, so I have brought few books of each death book there. Who Am I? Sachikumar Prabhu is here. And if you can collect, we have 4 or 5 of each books. If you want, you can collect these books. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. I have Narasimha oil from Mayapur. This year's Narasimha Abhishek oil. Please take some blessings of Narasimha Bhagavan. On that corner, Sachikumar Prabhu will be there. You can collect the books.
Prabhu, how much is this?
That Prabhu is going there, that Brahmachari.
Yeah. This is from where?
This is from Narasimha Bhagavan in Mayapur.
Jai.
You did the Narasimha. Mataji, take all these books to that Brahmachari. So he's there, you can sell. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Baltimore.
Baltimore, yes. Okay.